Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for the reality of new beginnings. Thank you that for every one of us in this room, we are in need of new beginnings. We're in need of fresh starts. Thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning for every one of us. We just say yes to your mercy. Yes to your kindness. Yes to your grace. We just say yes to your life. We just surrender, Lord. We surrender ourselves and our circumstances, our bodies and our minds to you. We just say we need your mercy, Lord. Your mercy, your kindness, your grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that every person in this place that would sense any measure of oppression just from the enemy, from any kind of darkness, let us begin to just leave this room, leave this place in the name of Jesus. And there just begin to be just a lifting of heaviness off of people, a lifting of just sorrow and despair. Just pray a breaking of the power of that in Jesus' name. And Lord, that you would be restoring hope, that you'd be restoring confidence. I just sense the Father is wanting to restore confidence in Him again. That we would be a people that are confident in the living God. That He is alive. That He is moving on the earth. And so, God, we ask that you would restore confidence. That we would have confidence in you again. No matter how many times we've hit the wall, no matter how many times we've fallen, the Lord, confidence in you would be stirred again. Hope in you would be stirred again. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your kindness for every person in this place. We just love you, Father. We love you, Father. Lord, I pray that as we transition, as we hear teaching, as we say hello to one another, that there just be just an increase of who you are in us and around us. Thank you that you're not far off, but you're near. So we welcome just more of your nearness in this place. Thank you, Father. Just want to say good to be together, good to be here. Just going to take a couple minutes. Just say hello to somebody. Give somebody a hug. Grab a coffee.
We've been praying. We've been praying. We started intercession, when was it, 2 weeks ago on a Monday? Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings. And it's just been really, really neat. And I walked in this morning to do intercession before church. And I felt, wow, this place is different. Like God wants to do something new. And I know He's been talking to me, but that He wants to do a birthing in the Village Vineyard, and that the intercession is going to be part of the birthing. And so today I really felt, wow, there's a newness on this place. There is, I don't know, just something new. And then when I was back there talking to my brother during worship, I looked over at the door, and this person walked in, and I was like, wow, that person looks familiar. I wonder who that is. And then it really took me, because it was Joshua. And I went, oh, my gosh, it's Joshua, my son. And so, and then I remembered what God said. He wants to do a new thing. I said, you're doing a new thing. I didn't even recognize who Joshua was. And then I really feel like God wants me to read a couple scriptures, a third one I didn't have a chance to find, because I really feel like we're pregnant with possibility here. But we have to let go of the old. There's a scripture, the one I couldn't find was the one where Jesus said, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. And so I believe God wants us to be pliable in His hands and let Him make the new wineskins. And so I've got a couple more scriptures here I want to read. And this is God. I truly believe God's speaking to us. What word do I want? There's potential. But it's really going to be up to us. So here, let me read this. Oh, and then when Joshua got up right after worship, what was the first thing he said? Thank you, God, for what? Do you remember? New beginnings. So, This is out of Isaiah. This is God speaking to us. I really believe this. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. And this is what Paul said, which I believe is the attitude we each have to have right now. He said this, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so I believe that's what God is saying to each of us today, corporately and in our individual lives. And that, like Paul, forgetting those things which lie behind and reaching forward to those things which lie ahead. Okay? So we can do it together. So.
Good word. So grab the hand of the person next to you real quick, and we're just going to pray. Just grab that. Grab a hand. Just touch someone's hand. And Father, we just together, just together, we want to, with as much faith as we can have, we want to believe for new beginnings. For each person in here individually, we want to believe for each of our brothers and sisters sitting next to us in here. We want to believe for new beginnings. Lord, we want to believe for new beginnings together corporately. Father, we just say yes to new beginnings. We say yes, so this is a work that you're going to do by your strength and your power. Not a work that we're going to do in our strength, but in your strength. So, Father, we just say, let it be new beginnings by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good word. Man, isn't the prophetic is so good. The prophetic, just hearing a now word, is so, there's just so much life on it. It's just beautiful. So, before Brad gets up and continues his little series here, we are going to be sending Matt and Sarah to Australia, which is really cool. Let me give you a little bit of the backdrop. We had a gentleman come. Well, Mark Crawford, who many of you know from Australia, he's been coming on and off here for, I don't know, maybe a year and a half now. And he brought with him this crazy guy named Tim. And he was such a breath of fresh air to anyone who was around him. He was just has the Spirit of Christ, the joy of the Lord. Like, I've never known anybody to have the joy of the Lord. What kind of, you know, just, anyways. But Mark stayed with Nally and I, and Tim stayed with Matt and Sarah. And Tim, the influence Tim was able to have, they were only here for like 6 days, but there was a major impact that Tim made specifically with Matt and Sarah and specifically in their marriage. They've been working and wrestling with issues in their marriage, and there was a real significant beginning of a breakthrough when Tim was with them back in March. And so we've been kind of kicking around the idea of having Tim come back. And so Matt and Sarah were talking with Tim, and they've been Skyping with Tim and talking with him. And then I think maybe 2 months ago, Tim basically did a reversal on him and said, what do you guys think about coming here rather than me coming there? And so it was kind of strange. It didn't make much sense. But it's begun to make more and more sense to the point where, well, now they're going. And just with where things are at, Matt and Sarah are just in a place of just struggling with some things in their marriage. They're just being honest with some real things that are hard to be honest about. And so it's creating some difficulties that it's going to take someone, we believe, like Tim, to be able to really reach in and minister and do some things to help them in the season and the place they're in. And so this is it's a difficult time for them, but it's also a time that I believe God is wanting to do a work. And so I'd like to have us do two things. One, I want to have us pray for them, pray a blessing on their trip. They're going to be gone for a total of 10 days? 11 days. And they're leaving on this Thursday. So I want us to pray for them, and I also want to take up an offering. Church is sending them in part. They're going to pay in part, and then I really would like for us to be able to give just a love offering to them specifically for this trip. So if we could have just some of the leaders come up, Matt and Sarah, if you guys would come up, and just pray a blessing upon them.
I just want to tell you guys, Matt and Sarah, that I love you guys so much. And I do believe that God has something great for you. I've been going to their house a lot, and I just like feel so blessed by them. And I just want to encourage you guys.
Okay, since we're all now saying something, I want to share real quick a principle out of the Bible, and I'm not going to take long. I can't break this down right now because of time. But in the Old Testament, we have a high priest. And he has garments that are laid out in a certain fashion. They're principles. It's things God's teaching us, having to do with leadership. The high priest is the representation of God to man or to the congregation. And when God anoints the high priest, he always anoints the head. And it runs down the beard, and he specifically describes this process of where the oil's going. The head represents the leadership over the body. And the beard it represents maturity. It talks about the leaders of the church. And then from the beard, it drips onto the body. God never blesses the body directly. He blesses the body through the head. And it is the body's responsibility and wise of the body to do everything they can to bless the head. And this is a situation where we have an opportunity to bless the head and leadership in this church by getting behind them, supporting them. And I just would encourage you that it's wise for us to do that. Amen?
We're continuing series on understanding God's love, knowing God's love. Last week, I really want to encourage you, if you weren't here, to listen to it online. It's been really influencing me all week long. It's been adjusting kind of my perspective on some things. And so, yeah, I just want to encourage you. All the messages are online, and listen to it. So that's it.
I had it on the whole time and I just switched it off. Can you hear me now? Hey. Am I on now? Still doesn't sound like it. No, there it. I think it is. Okay, cool. All right. Well, let me start off by saying that I'm on now. I'll get rid of that. Sorry, that was a bad toss. I want to say in the onset that that's all right. This part isn't important anyhow, so. I just want to say in the onset that I am here with an excitement and fear all at the same time. And the fear is because I had a message prepared on Friday. Thursday night, I felt an unction from the Holy Spirit not to bring this message. And I felt like the Lord told me what to do, you know, just by an unction. It wasn't like super clear, but it was pretty strong. And I'm telling you this because I want you to just know where I'm coming from is to, you know, I may seem very ill-prepared, and bottom line is I am. So I wanted you to know why. It's not due to a lack of preparation. But God threw me a curveball, and so here I am.
So Thursday night, he told me, I felt the Lord said, I don't want you to bring that message. I want you to say this. And I was like, you know, Lord, I'll do what you tell me to do. But I mean, I'm going to need not days, but months to prepare for that one. So I'll do it down the road. So I went ahead on Friday. I went ahead and prepared the message. I sent out the notes to the leadership here, let them know what I'm bringing. I went to bed all happy because, you know, I'm good. I've got it. And Friday night, while lying in bed, the unction came 10 times stronger. I told you I don't want you bringing that message. I want you to bring this message. And I was like, Lord, it's Friday night. And, you know, I mean, messages that I have maybe preached many times before, I can do in a day. It's not a problem, but not this one. This is huge. This would, I really feel like I would want months to do justice to this. Nothing changing on the Lord's side. So, Saturday, I spent the better part of the day yesterday preparing for this, and it was ridiculous. I mean, it's literally a $60 billion message that I've got about 25 cents worth of time to speak on, and it's like, I just don't even know what to do. So, I mean, I have kind of a joke of a couple notes I put on a piece of paper, and that's all I have. And then I went to bed last night thinking, you know, all right, I've fully submitted to it. I'm going to do it, but I'm stepping out of the boat. I'm walking on water. Here I go. And then Sunday morning, I woke up this morning, and then this thought hit me. Oh, my gosh, Joshua thinks I'm bringing something else, and I'm bringing something totally different. I mean, totally different. And then I thought, just out of respect to the leadership and Joshua as the pastor of the church, I thought, I can't do this without telling him. I don't want to ever do that to him where I step up and say a bunch of stuff and he's like, what in the world are you doing? You know, because this is going to be one of those. And so I'm laying in bed this morning and I start having this conversation with the Lord. Lord, you need to go tell Joshua. I don't even want to tell him because, you know, I mean, you've been working on me for days to, you know, to submit to this. And but so you need to tell him. And I got this sense like the Lord was like not real happy with that. Like, I want you to you go ahead and tell him and all that. But, you know, I was kind of using it like a cop out. Like, I know you're not going to tell him. And so then I'm off the hook because I'm not doing this without, you know, I need to tell him or whatever. So I just, okay, Lord, I'm not going to go that. I realize what I'm doing. It's kind of a little bit of a con job. All right, I'll tell him. But you tell him that I have something to tell him. And I want you to, like, because I felt like Joshua's heart needs to be prepared for this because, I mean, it is such a shift. And so, Lord, I really want you to tell him that I have something to tell him. Ring, the phone rings. And I went, if this is him, I'm going to freak. So I look at the caller ID, and it's Joshua. And I picked up the phone, and I said, dude, I can't wait to hear what you're calling me for right now. So he said, oh, wow, okay, this is probably going to be good. And so he just begins to tell me. And he just said, you know, about the message that you're bringing, it's just this one part. I just thought, you know, that one thing you shared with me a couple weeks ago, and it just really ministered to me. And I just kind of think you should put that as part of this message. And I said, well, that's not really what I was hoping you'd say. I said, but since you're here, this is perfect. I need to tell you and what's happening. I told him what was happening. I said, the Lord wants me to bring an entirely different message. And here's what he wants me to bring. And then when I said all that, Joshua said, you know, the essence of what you said to me that one day, that's what I was trying to say. I just said it poorly. He said, that's it. That's what I was feeling like the Lord is wanting you to bring today. And I was like, praise God, man, that's great. So I've got a green light. And then all of a sudden, I realized I had the green light. And then all of a sudden, fear struck. Oh, wait a minute. That means I got to bring this, you know. So here I am. All right, so. Amen. All right, so this is, I'm going to bring it basically with a question that I feel like is the question that God has for all of us. Now, I'm going to probably say you a lot throughout the whole message because that's, you know, I mean, I'm teaching to you, but I just want you to know, I mean, it's 100% me. I mean, I'm in this, you know what I mean? I mean, God's speaking this to me. So don't even worry about whether, you know, does he think he's whatever? No, just forget about it. Just listen as if God is speaking to you. Don't worry about anybody else, right? Let it speak to you. This is the question. have you forgotten who God is? And I believe the Lord is saying we have. We have forgotten who He is. We have diminished God so far, and not necessarily intentionally, but nonetheless, we have. Our culture has a lot to do with it. And I don't want to take it all off of us because we are personally responsible for what we believe. But still, little by little, piece by piece, we have diminished God to what I would call a point of complete moral tragedy. And this is why we are not experiencing more of God than we are in our lives. So the message I was going to bring was basically talking about this goodness of God in a very particular way. I'm bringing who God is to us, you know, several different ways. And I feel like the Lord was saying to me, don't bring it, because they won't appreciate it, because their heart is not in the right place, mine as well. They need to remember who I am first. I need to remember who He is, which creates the soil for that seed to take place of His goodness to grow into the tree that it really is. But if the soil is not prepared, we hear about the goodness of God, and then we say, hey, what's for lunch? And we go out the door, because we really don't get who He is. So the question is, have we forgotten who God is? And let me say this. What we have in our minds and our hearts about God, when you ask yourself the question, who is God? What's He like? The answer to that question in your heart and in your mind will define your life. It will define your character. And ultimately, it defines your destiny. So the answer to this question is of the utmost importance. Who is God to you? Do you understand? And the only correct answer is the right answer. Who He really is. Who is God? And there is only one way that we can know who God is. There's only one way. What is that way? What? The Word of God reveals who He is. Not our ideas. Not what the culture says. Not even what some preacher says. What does the Word say? He has revealed Himself in His Word. And then we also find out who He is in prayer. But you cannot have the prayer apart from the Word. There is nothing you can do. You can pray. Many people love to pray. And they will pray and pray and fast and all this. But they won't get into the Word. And that is like having a bunch of mortar and no bricks. The Word of God is the bricks that will build a wall. And you need the mortar to cement that brick. But you must have the brick. The brick is the substance of who God is. So it is of utmost importance that we spend time in the Word and we find out who is this God. And it will define who we are. It will define our life. It will create the character within us. It will determine our destiny. There is no culture that rises any higher than its religion. And there is no religion that rises higher than its idea of God. You can look at even these religions that believe in a God that is, you know, they do their voodoo dolls and cantations and all this. And they have really this very kind of evil idea about God. He'll kill you if you do this or whatever. And look at those cultures and they kill and murder and, you know, they really follow the very image of God. It's the law of the soul that we will move towards the very image that we have of God. The image that we have of God on the inside, I don't care what your or my creedal statements are. We believe in the Holy Trinity, blah, 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 blah. It does not matter. It is of little consequence what you say with your mouth. What matters is what you truly believe about God in your heart. Who He is to you defines you. There is no more important word in any language on the planet than the word they have for God. There's no heavier word than the word for God. There's no more important thought that any human being has at any given time than the thought of who is God. It defines you. I know I've said it several times. I'm just going to keep saying it. It defines you. It defines your life. It defines my life. It defines my character. It defines my destiny. And I believe that we are in a culture right now, and we've been here for a long time. This isn't something new, but we're in a culture nonetheless that is in a place of complete moral calamity because of our beliefs about God. That's why we are where we are. And many, you know, we can just easily say, I believe in God. Oh, I totally believe in God. I know He's a great God. I know He's a big God. But if we really, 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 really understood who He was, our lives would be instantaneously transformed. So one thing I would like to do that comes to mind is I think it would be good for us just to spend a few minutes in the Word today, and let's look at some things about God. Let's look at some of the descriptions of God. Go with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. You'll find that in the Old Testament. Go to Psalms, hang a right. A few books later, you'll find it. Just past Jeremiah. If you see Jeremiah, it's one book to the right. And I'm going to read. I have 15 minutes left to do this. So this is tough, but I'm just going to kind of fly through some scriptures. And if you don't have this or if you can't find it, don't worry about it. It might even be better that you're not even trying to read. Maybe just listen. I'm just going to read. How would we define God? Let me just say this. You can't. I mean, there aren't words to define Him because there is nothing like Him on the earth. Nothing. So all we can do, and even these, what I'm going to read is a man who has a vision. God takes him to heaven. And I'm going to just say, let's just read what he saw. How about that? Helps me a lot. Let's read from people who actually went there and saw him. And how did they describe him? And you know the only way they can describe him? They say words like, appeared like, had the resemblance of. They say that all throughout because that's all they can do. It was like, he was like the appearance of a man, but, and there's all these buts in there because there isn't anything like him on the planet. So listen to this. Now it came to pass in the 30th year in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives of the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened and I saw a vision of God. The word of the Lord came expressly. I'm kind of jumping some scriptures for the sake of time. The word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chedar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. The hand of the Lord was upon him, the heavens opened, and he saw God. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself. So picture that. At first I thought maybe this whirlwind was like a tornado. And maybe it was, I don't know. But then I remembered a vision I had from the Lord. And it was a whirlwind, but it wasn't going this direction. It was going this direction. Actually, it was this way. It was like waves of the ocean. Just huge waves, billowing waves. Rolling and rolling, and then suddenly Jesus came right out of it and he began to speak to me. And I'm thinking maybe it's the same thing. He saw this whirlwind And then there was fire flying out of this. And it was within it. The fire was within itself, engulfing itself. Just flames coming in and out of this whirlwind. And brightness was all around. And it was radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of fire. Also from within came the likeness of four living creatures. And there was their appearance. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. These four creatures came out of this whirlwind of fire. And they had the likeness of a man. Yet it says they had four heads on every one of them. Each one had four faces. Each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and their soles of the feet were like the soles of calves. So you have these hoofed feet on the ends of these men who had four faces and four wings. They had the hands of a man under their wings and their four sides. Each of the four had faces of wings. Their wings touched one another. And it goes on describing these wild-looking creatures. They had the face of a man. Of the four faces, one was the face of a man. The other one was the face of an ox. The other one was the face of an eagle. What was the other one? A lion, the face of a lion. And four wings and hands and eyes throughout. In Revelation, John has a similar vision. And he sees these creatures, and they're flying around the throne of God. Now here's something to consider. These are beings that God created. Who is this God that creates these beings that have power beyond comprehension? And He gives them this power. He's the source. He can smote them in a second if He wants to. He created them. Don't think it's out of control. Don't start to get afraid. Your God, your Father and mine created them. He's in full control of them. These are good beings. God created them. But they are powerful and they are awesome and they are wild in their appearance to us. But here's something also I think I just love. If you get to thinking about this, what if God was like that? What if He had multiple heads and 16 arms and eyes throughout? There's a disconnect instantly with that, isn't there? Because how do we worship and relate to a being who's not like us? You can't. Because He's not one of you. Do you know that? You can't. You can have a pet. You can have an animal. You can love it. But only to a certain degree, right? Because it's not one of you. You're not one of it. It's not one of you. God created us how? In His image and in His likeness. We are one of Him. I didn't want to say He's one of us. We're one of Him, right? He has two eyes, one nose, lips, a mouth, teeth, a head, arms, two hands, two legs, just like us. But I don't like saying that way. We're just like Him. He created us in His image. We are one and the same. To a degree. Because when you see God, and I'm just going to say it myself because it'll take too long. Well, no, I want you to see it. I'm going to stop there. Let's go to Revelations. That's the last book on the right, so that should be quick and easy to find if you want to read it with me. Revelations chapter 4. Revelations 4:1. After these things I looked. And if you just want to listen, that's fine. It might be more effective. I don't know. Whatever works for you. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. This is John. He's getting a vision. The Lord is blessing him with insight to himself and to heaven itself. A door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying... Now look at that. It's a voice like a trumpet. If I had a trumpet right now and I blasted that trumpet, can you imagine the volume, the piercingness of that voice, that the strength of a trumpet? Think about it. Try and listen to a trumpet right now, blasting. And then now change that. It's actually someone's voice. That's how powerful it is. the voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. Think about that. He's a man like us in that he looks just like us. He's in bodily form like us. However, can you imagine? You look at him and it's almost a transparent form of jewels that you can kind of see through, but you can't see through. And he's in the exact same bodily form, but he's emanating with light so incredible that it would be blinding if God didn't give you special eyes to be able to look at him. And I say that because the Bible tells us God's brightness is 10 times brighter than the sun. And you cannot look directly at the sun. And he's 10 times brighter than that. He made that sun, by the way, that's hanging up there. He made that. Who is this God that made that sun? He made that sun. And John is looking at him and he is like jasper. He's like a sardis stone. He's like a gem, a jewel, moving just like a man, but he's a gem and light is flowing and wind is blowing around his throne. And John's looking at him and his knees are shaking and he's ready to fall on his face. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around him, around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. So here he is with this light flowing. He is moving just like a man, but not a man. It's this gem. And then there's this rainbow over the throne, this awesome rainbow. Remember who made the rainbow? And why did he make the rainbow? He made it to speak to his children. This is my promise. It did not happen before the flood. It's just something God created to remind us of a covenant that he made with you and me, that I will never again flood the earth. Do not be afraid of me ever again flooding the earth. Every time you look in the sky, you can look at that. It's a kiss of God. He made that for us to see it every time. And it's just him saying, I love you. I've got you. Don't worry. It's my promise. I promise you I will never flood the earth again. That rainbow is around his head. The creator of it is below it. Light, lightning bolts, thunderous sounds. God, you know, he's not a quiet God. He doesn't walk around like this. Like, you know, we do that with religion. We make monks out of the whole thing. God is lightning and thunder. When you hear the most awesome thunderstorms, I love those. They always speak of God to me. Do they do that to you? That thunder that's so outrageous, that lightning bolt that literally shakes your house, I love those. I'm a little crazy, I know, because like I lived in California for 10 years. 7 earthquakes, over a 7 on the Richter scale while I was there. And I literally came unglued with excitement on every one of them. I was in the 11th story of a hotel with my younger brother John when one struck. I believe it was 7.2. The whole building is swinging. You know what I did? I ran out onto the balcony and held onto the rail so I could swing with it. Because I thought, this is awesome. I mean, the earth is shaking. The whole earth is shaking. And my brother's inside going, get in here. What are you doing? He's freaking out. And I said, I looked back and I said, John, if the building goes down, you're no better off than I am. I mean, what's it matter? Come out here and enjoy it, man. I mean, I'm watching the swing, you know. It just speaks of God to me. I love it. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. They had crowns of gold on their heads, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunders, voices. Imagine that. Just stop and think about it. He's sitting on this throne. He's in a picture of an emerald and jasper and light. And there's a rainbow over him, and there's this 24 thrones around him. They're all dressed in white. And then the sounds of thunder and lightning bolts flying out from this throne room. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunders, and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. Imagine that, a creature, and he's got eyes balls all the way down his body and all the way down his backside. He's just a bunch of eyes, man. Wow. I mean, I don't think he misses anything. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature... Well, let me just back up to that sea of glass. Think about this, a sea of glass. Think about the ocean. Does that speak to you? When you go to the ocean, does it not speak to you about the majesty of our God? He, this God we're talking about, made that ocean. How awesome is the ocean? The first time I scuba dived like an idiot, I went 50 feet, no training. The second day I went 100 feet. If anyone knows anything about scuba diving, that's complete insanity. And when I did that, it was a world opened up to me. I had no idea. There's literally a whole universe underneath the sea. I was there and these big fish were just schools, thousands of these colorful fish flying by, you know, just swimming by me. They were acting like I'm nothing. They didn't care. They're just not used to seeing human beings down there, I guess. They just figure I belong there. They just swam all around me. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the whole of the world. Our God made that. Now think about it. You're standing on a beach and look at the ocean. You're looking out the ocean. Think about how massive that is. And this is what John has seen. A sea, but it was like glass before the throne. Imagine looking out in the ocean. The whole thing is glass. And as far as you can see out there on the horizon is this throne with lightning bolts flying out from the throne. And a man, kind of like a man, looks like a man, but yet he's a jasper and sardis stone looking. And you can kind of see through him. He's almost like this glass being. And all these thrones around. Just that picture. And then there are all these saints that are on the sea. He tells us about it later. The saints that have martyred and died. They're walking on the sea of glass, going to the throne. You see these millions of people walking towards the throne on this sea of glass. This is the God that we serve. And we actually find it within ourselves to argue with him. He says, in one place, where is that? I think it's Job. I saw this one time. I don't know if I was doing it. I think I was doing it. It's why the Lord spoke it to me. But, oh, wow, it blessed me. God says in Job 40, verse 8, would you condemn me that you may be justified? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you done that? Do you ever do that? The answer is yes. We all do it. We actually condemn this God at times. You could have done this. You could have done that. Why didn't you do this? Why aren't you doing this in my life? We condemn him in an attempt to justify ourselves. We're going to have to put a wrap on this, but this is just the beginning, I think, of God wanting to speak to us about who this God is that we serve. He is a good God, but we will never even begin to appreciate His goodness until we begin to understand who He is that is good to us. Amen? Amen.
So, what we just did there was we magnified God. And if you've heard this before, to magnify something is to make it bigger. Well, obviously we can't make God bigger, but it's really bigger in our own sight. And so often what we do is we magnify our own problems or our own life or our own situation. And that's why it's so powerful to have a message like this, messages like this, because it magnifies God. It increases not how big He is, because He is what He is, but it increases our understanding of who He actually is. And so let's why don't we go ahead and stand. And let's just take I'll just let you guys start whenever you guys start. But I just want to just take 15 seconds here, 30 seconds. Let's just do just a little bit of business with God. Just personally, just ourselves before the Father. I know for me, and not in a condemned way, I don't feel condemned. I feel actually really encouraged. But what I want to say to the Father is, Father, forgive me for having you be so small in my own mind, in my own life. And so if that resonates with you, just before God, just quietly in your own heart, just talk to God about that. So Lord, we together, we just want to know you for who you really are, God. We want to see you for who you really are, because it's really, really good. And so I just pray, Father, in the coming days and weeks and beyond, that you would be releasing a spirit of wisdom and revelation in this place, in our homes, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that we would grow in our true knowledge of you, God. And that just the picture I have is that you, Father, just tipping over these previous images that we had of you that are not actually true. So would you just tip those things over? Would you push those things over? They're just little flimsy nothings. So just flip them over. And God, we just say, Take the throne. Take the rightful place that really there's no life apart from you being in that place anyways. So God, take your rightful place in our lives, in our hearts, as the mighty God of the universe. Thank you.
So when we sing, God, you are my God, just remember who it is we're saying is God. Remember what he's done. Remember his word, his creation. He tames the seas with one word. He makes mountains erupt from the land. He knows what the depths of the oceans hold. He knows what the farthest reaches of the outer space hold. This awesome, mighty God. And simultaneously our Father. So know that when we sing this.
Then shall I live? Or I feel like an analogy might help a little bit. You imagine maybe playing on a team, and team's doing whatever and so-so, and all of a sudden one day you walk in on one of the team members practicing, and you realize, oh my, they are so much better than I ever knew they were. There'd probably be something inside you that would rise up like, dude, you have got to play like that in our games. You have got to play like that in my life. I want you to be who you are in my life. And I think that's sort of, if you're struggling to grab onto this, I think that that's an analogy that might help a little bit. God is who he is, but sometimes we might limit how he plays in our lives. And so I think that a prayer that could be appropriate would be to ask, Father, we just ask that you would be all of who you are. You would be all of who you are in our lives. You'd be all of who you are in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Father, for just Brad opening the word, Lord, and reading the scriptures that a lot of times we skip over, Lord, because they blow our minds. Thank you, Lord, for getting to read some scriptures that blow our minds, Lord, that surprise us with how awesome you are. That surprise us with your majesty, Lord. That surprise us, Lord, that you blow out of the box that we try to latch you into. Thank you, Father, that you're breaking latches off. You're breaking latches off. We just pray, Father, you come out of the box and start singing in our lives more fully, Lord God, that we would give you space and freedom, Lord. We say we want all of who you are. We want all of who you are, Father. We want all of who you are, Father. We want all of who you are. So I just pray, Father, you keep giving us a drink and a glimpse and just a vision into who you are, Lord God. A drink and a glimpse and a vision into who you are, Lord God, because when we see you for who you are, Lord God, we can't help but want more, Lord. We can't help but want more, Lord. So we just ask for more, Father. Just ask for more, Father. We just ask for more in our lives, Lord, that you would be all of who you are, that you would be all of who you are. More, Father. More, Father. More, Father.